I do know how powerful I am. This is Thought for Today, Dr. Harry L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campbell, California. I know how powerful I am. How many of us can say that? That we know how powerful we are. We act powerful. We live powerful. We express powerful, but how many of us know how powerful we really are? We say, I speak my word, and the power of the universe vibrates to manifest it. Well, it's the power in us that vibrates to manifest it, but that's okay. But I speak my word, and the power of the universe vibrates to manifest it. Now, how powerful is that? Is that only on certain things? Or is that on everything? You see, we have a tendency to think that, well, this is true of many healers and many religious people. They can pray for others. They can do things for others, but they can't do it for themselves or their own family. And this is very unfortunate because we're dealing with a principle. We're not dealing with an emotional responder. We're not dealing with a God that responds only to emotions. And the emotions are, well, if you're a nice person, then it's okay. And if you're not a nice person, it's not okay. And I think that we should come to the realization that a miser is a very wealthy person not getting the benefit of his wealth because he is miserly about it. And a very naughty person who is a wealthy person seems to get wealthier. Now, that's not right. He should get poor. He should be a pauper because he's a bad person, you know, in our estimation. And the principle doesn't have anything to care about whether we're naughty or nice. And the sooner that we start realizing that, the sooner that we start recognizing that the law does not consider the doer or whatever, the law only considers what it is that you're speaking your word about. So if you're speaking your word about your health, and you say, I'm whole and perfect, and you only allow that thought to go through your head, even while you may be taking some sort of medicine or some sort of thing that disturbs your health, you're going to be whole and perfect while you're saying, I'm whole and perfect. And let's say that you're taking something that is, you're drinking alcohol. That's a good. And you have a tendency to get drunk. And so you say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. Well, you won't get drunk. You won't get drunk. However, the minute you stop saying I'm whole and perfect and you keep drinking the alcohol, you'll get drunk. The minute you stop speaking your word for the truth of your being, you will have all of the problems that you're putting into your world effective upon you. Now, this Sunday I'm going to be speaking about the topic of immunity. And immunity is a wonderful thing. And it's interesting how when you don't want to be disturbed by a rattlesnake bite, what you do is you take little portions of rattlesnake venom over a period of time and you become immune to it. Your body builds up an immunity to it. And therefore, then, when a rattlesnake bites you, if you're in a place where rattlesnakes are going to bite you, I don't know why they should ever bite anybody, but if it bites you, then you'll be immune to its poison. Now, that's one way, and it works. That's the human way. You can also be immune to its poison by being immune, being untouched. But you see, there we run into a problem, and that's a big problem. The problem is that when you are immune to a rattlesnake poison, and you're out in rattlesnake country, you also are immune to rattlesnakes. You will not create them in your world biting you. You will not create them being bothersome to you. You know, they might be sitting right next to you, and you say, "Hi, Joel," and the rattlesnake looks up at you and shakes his tail and says, "Now, let's not get too chummy here." Yeah. I have nothing against you, but my purpose is to get food. And so I bite the food, and I anesthetize the food so that it is unable to run away from me or do anything, and then I go about digesting the food. But I have to first immobilize it so that it doesn't give me a hard time. Now, you're kind of big to immobilize, so I may just have to kill you. And that's the case. Now, about little rattlesnakes, baby rattlesnakes. Baby rattlesnakes don't know how to give a little bite of venom. They always give everything. Twing! They give you their full shot of poison. Whereas an adult knows that he wants a little here and a little there, and he never leaves himself without his defense with his venom. So he just gives a little bit with each bite, because that's enough to do what he wants to do. Oh, the animal that he bites may crawl away a little ways, but it'll soon be, you know, immobilized. And then the rattlesnake can go and have dinner. But that's another story. And the immunization that takes place is a matter of taking a little bit of rattlesnake poison over a period of time, and then you become immune to it. I don't suggest you doing it yourself. Scientists know how to give you the portions that you can tolerate. But again, if you're going to go by the human immunity, then you must be very careful. If you're going by the divine immunity, then you don't have to be careful. You can do anything you want to do. Because if you go by divine immunity, you will not be enticed to do anything that'll be against your best nature. You will not be encouraged by anything in your world, which is you, to do something which would be opposed to your highest good. So, do we know how powerful we are? We have this power in us. We have this power to accomplish great things, just like Norman Cousins. Here he had all the money in the world. He had all the medical help in the world. He had everything that he could have. He didn't know what caused his cancer, but he had it. And so he thought, all right, I read that laughter chases away illnesses, so I'm going to laugh my head off. So he did that. Now, he also believed that it would work, as he had read a number of instances where it had functioned and worked, and so naturally it worked for him, and it did. Now, if it works for him, and if it's so good, why is it that other people don't do it? Why is it that other people, because other people aren't rich and other people aren't independent thinkers like he was or is. Now, are you an independent thinker? Are you the kind of person who thinks your own thoughts? Or do you think that when someone else is unhappy, you have to be unhappy? When you think that someone else has a problem, you have to worry about the problem with them, you know. When you think that someone has a need, that you have to help them fulfill it. You know? Well, if that's what you think, then you're nothing. You're nothing. You're not even dust on the earth. Because you are manipulated by your environment. You are controlled by the people in your world. You're controlled by the circumstances in your world. It's the silliest thing you can ever do. And if that's what turns you on, go for it. You don't know how powerful you are, because you're giving your power over. And that's the power that you're doing. You're giving it over. Now, what do you want? What do you want to experience? Do you want to experience it that you're the master of your life? You want to experience that you are untouched, there we go, unpossessed, non-judgmental. Do you want to experience those? Yeah. Just be careful what you say now. Because you want to be unconditional loving? Unconditionally loving, you want to do that? Huh? Yeah, it sounds great. But just remember, you will be dead. to all previous attitudes. If you're unconditionally loving, you're going to love everybody in your world just like you love your mom and your pop, or maybe more, and your brothers and sisters and your husband and wife and stuff like that, and your kids. I love my son, but I unconditionally love everybody in the world, and so I cannot love my son more or less than I love everybody else. My son just happens to be in my world. Everybody else doesn't necessarily happen to be in my world, but as they come into my world, I love them. I love them equally. I was thinking this morning, wouldn't it be nice if we had some young people here on campus? And then I thought, what young person would ever want to be on this campus? This campus would be utterly boring to him, unless he were really on his spiritual path. But if he wanted to be out with the kids and doing what the kids are doing, and wanted to be running around and having a good time and playing his music, you know, or whatever, I thought, wouldn't it be interesting to have some young Mexican boy coming here to work days and using his green card, and then going back to Mexico in the evening or something, or being here full time and working for us. And wouldn't that be interesting? And I thought, no, for a while he'd like it. But if this isn't his philosophy, if it's not his way of life, it would not be satisfying to him. Because here we spend a lot of time in meditation. We spend a lot of time in reading our lessons and studying. We spend a lot of time doing these things that are important for us, and that, of course, is not always true, but we spend a lot of time on it. And for someone who isn't into this thinking, now, I must say that someone could be a Catholic, a Protestant, a Buddhist, a Jew, yeah, any one of those people. Could be you and me. If we don't really believe that thoughts are things, words are power, if we don't really believe that everything that we apply ourselves to brings good into our life for our choice, and that the joy of life is not in the outer, but it's in the inner. Now, that's not normal. The normal man believes the joy in life is in the outer, and that God is in the outer, basically. And so for us to have anyone here who thinks that way, they're not going to be harmonious with our program, because we think that all is in the inner, the divine is in the inner, our God self is in the inner, in each one of us, and that's all that's important, and then we just flow from there. Now, if that's not your thinking, then you're not going to be happy being here. And that's why so many people, they come here, they love this place, they love the quiet, they love the vibrations, they're just delighted with everything. And then when we say, now, take time to be still and know yourself. Be yourself and have fun. Oh boy, I like that, you know. But it's not quite what they mean. To be yourself means to listen to your inner self and follow what it tells you. And to have fun doesn't mean to go out and sing and dance and jump around, which is okay, but it means that you follow what your inner self says and you are content in it. Now, having fun being yourself might be climbing a mountain. It might be driving a race car. It might be doing all sorts of interesting things. It doesn't mean that you're dead, you stop living, but it means you live from a different perspective. You live from the perspective of how powerful you are. And when you know how powerful you are, when you know what your inner self really is, then that's the only place that you go from to be yourself and have fun. Now that's what I suggest to everyone here at the monastery. I suggest that to everyone wherever I go and lecture. And many people say, yes, 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 yes. until it comes time to practice. And then, can you do the 3-hour meditation in the morning? It's amazing. A lot of people say yes, yes, yes. They try very seriously, but they can't make it. And they can't make it because they're not at home within themselves. When you are happy within yourself, the 3-hour meditation is just the most natural thing in the world. When you are at peace, when you are at peace, then you are the whole thing. And everything beautiful comes your way because you are at peace. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? So, I know how powerful I am. Well, if you do, then you know where it comes from, right inside. Have a good day. I love you. I love you. I love you.